As Stephen has said, it's been a huge delight to be here this last week in the presbytery of Coleraine and Limavady. During the moderatorial year, each moderator is invited to spend time in three of the 19 presbyteries throughout Ireland. And it just so happens that this is the first of the presbyteries that I'll be visiting. I'll be going to North Belfast in a couple of weeks' time, and then in February to Newry Presbytery. But 32 engagements later, including last night, as has been said, with street pastors here in Portrush, what a huge privilege to be able to see the life and the work that is going on in this presbytery. And how wonderful to be back home, because I was brought up in Coleraine, and to be able to do school assemblies in my two old schools, the Irish Society and what used to be Coleraine Inst, now Coleraine Grammar. When I was in the Irish Society, I realised it's 50 years since I've been there. And as I walked around the classrooms, one little girl put up her hand and said, "My nanny was in the same class as you at school." I'll tell you, it really did make my day. This year, the theme entrusted to me by the General Assembly is that we aspire to be a community of global concern. And so I gladly bring you the greetings of the General Assembly. And you may find it helpful to turn to the Book of Ruth, to page 267, and we'll be seeing the cross-cultural dimension of the gospel message. Is this booming just a wee bit, or is it all right? You can hear it well. Good. In our Bibles, Ruth is located following Judges and before Samuel, because it's a link story between the period of the judges ruling Israel and the kings being appointed to rule. So we're talking about 1,000 years before Christ. It was a sad, sad day. Bethlehem, the place that means house of bread, had no bread. The place of plenty had become a city of famine. Elimelech couldn't bear it for the sake of Naomi, his lovely wife, whose name means pleasant, and for the benefit of his two young boys, he would take his family and emigrate to the country of Moab, just across the River Jordan, to a foreign land, to a strange people and other gods. It would only be for a while, you understand. And then they would come back home, and Elimelech and Naomi, Mahlon and Chilion would pick up where they had left off. The trouble was, Elimelech died, and the boys fell in love with local girls and settled down. They were at home, as it were, happy to remain in their adopted land and content to stay in Moab forever. But Moab was not their abiding home, because Mahlon and Chilion also died, leaving not one but three widows, their mother Naomi, and their Moabitess wives, Orpah and Ruth. What were they to do? No husbands, no pensions, no grandchildren, no visible means of support. Only one thing for it. They would return to Judah, where the famine had now passed, and there was plenty of food once again. As they were walking along the road, Naomi suddenly stopped and said, "No, girls, this isn't fair. I can't expect you to come back with me. Life has been difficult enough for you already. You don't need to experience more sadness. Becoming an economic refugee, migrating to a land where you may not be well received, where you'll be a stranger, you'll be a fish out of water. Return back to your mother's home, and may God show you as much kindness to you as you have shown to me and your dead husbands. Go back home, and you'll have my full blessing to be remarried there." Well, Orpah did as she was bid. She wept long and hard, but she took Naomi's counsel and, lacking the steadfast loyalty that characterized true Israel, returned back to Moab, back to her own gods, back to her own people. But Ruth, for whatever reason, clung to Naomi and, from love, not duty, said, "Don't force me to leave you or turn back. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. By aligning herself with Naomi and the land of Israel, Ruth knew that humanly speaking, her prospects were not good. At that moment, she was joining weakness to weakness, death to death, vulnerability to vulnerability. But Naomi recognized in Ruth a strong and resolute will, and so she stopped urging her, and the two widowed women carried on until they arrived at Naomi's old town of Bethlehem. "Can this be Naomi?" exclaimed the women in the district, ignoring Ruth, by the way. "She used to be so lovely, happy and fulfilled, joyful." "Don't call me pleasant," said Naomi. "Call me Mara, Mary, Sourpuss, for the Lord Almighty has made my life bitter. I went away from this place of famine full, now I've come back empty. Why call me Naomi? For the Lord has testified against me." I wonder what was going through Naomi's mind. Had God been displeased that they had left Judah to live in a foreign land? Was that it? Perhaps God had been angry that Mahlon and Chilion had married Moabitish girls. Could that be why her husband and her sons had died? And momentarily, Naomi wrongly discounts Ruth as well. "Don't call me pleasant," she said. "Call me bitter." Now, it just so happened that Naomi and Ruth arrived in Bethlehem, which means house of bread, at the time of the barley harvest. And as the two women had to find a way to live, Ruth the Moabitess said to her mother-in-law, "Let me go down to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." It wasn't the most glamorous way to earn a living, but beggars can't be choosers. So Naomi said to Ruth, "Go ahead, my daughter." And off she went and began to gather up the leftover grain after the harvesters had finished reaping. Now, it just so happened again that the field was belonged to a man called Boaz, a relative of her former father-in-law Elimelech. And it just so happened that at that very moment, Boaz arrived from in town, and he said to his farmhands, "Who's that young woman over there?" "It's Ruth the Moabitess," they replied. So Boaz said, "My daughter, don't go anywhere else. Stay close to the servant girls. They will keep you safe here. And when you get thirsty, help yourself to the water jars that they have filled." Well, Ruth was astonished. "Why are you showing kindness to me, a foreigner?" "I've heard about you," said Boaz. "How kind you have been to Naomi ever since your husband died. May the Lord, the God of Israel, reward you richly and provide you shelter under the shadow of his wings." Well, you can guess, that night, Ruth had so much to tell her mother-in-law. How Boaz had fed her, how Boaz had provided for her, how Boaz had looked after her, how she had gained far more than she could ever have thought or dreamt or imagined. "The Lord bless you," said Naomi. "Did you know, by the way, that he's our closest relative? He's one of our kinsmen redeemers. Stay close to her. You never know, he might even make you one of his servants." Well, in due time, the harvest was gathered in, and the old woman, Naomi, she had time to think. It was time that Ruth got remarried, she thought. And so this was her idea. "Tonight, Boaz will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Have a nice bath, Ruth, and put on some of those lovely sweet-smelling scents and your best clothes. And after he's had his dinner and his heart is glad, lie down at his feet, and he'll tell you what to do." "Whatever you say, Mum," said Ruth. And so off she went and did exactly what Naomi said. Well, in the middle of the night, something made Boaz stir, and he woke up only to discover, to his great surprise, a woman at his feet. "And who in the name of goodness are you?" he exclaimed. "I'm Ruth, your marriageable servant," she said. "Cover me with the corner of your blanket, The same word as cover me with your wings. Cover me with the corner of your blanket, since you are my redeemer. Well, bless you, my child, he said after he had gathered his composure. Thank you for not going off with any of the younger men. I will look after you as best I can. But I've got to tell you, there's someone who is in fact a closer relative than I am. I would need to check out first if he is going to accept any responsibility for your welfare. Meanwhile, he said, before the sun started to rise, before you go back home, bring me your shawl. And when she held it out, he filled it to the brim with barley grain. After all, he said, you can't go back to Naomi empty-handed. So Ruth returned back home full. And Boaz went to the town and looked for the one who was closer to him as next of kin. Come over here, he said, in the presence of the 10 town councillors. Naomi has come back from Moab. She's selling Elimelech's land. I thought you ought to know because you have first refusal to keep it in the family. Well, certainly I'll buy it, he replied. Oh, yes, by the way, said Boaz with a glint in his eye, and on the day you buy the field, you'll also take Ruth the Moabitess as a wife because she is the dead man's widow. Well, at that piece of news, initial enthusiasm rapidly waned. The relative backed off and said, oh, I couldn't possibly do that. What would my wife say? Or words to that effect. He was happy to play his part in the covenant community as long as it was to his financial gain, but not when it involved sacrifice. So that is how Ruth, the servant girl, became Ruth, part of Boaz's family. And they got married, and under the providence of God, together they had a wee baby boy called Obed, who would restore sweetness to Naomi's life. She would delight the heart of Ruth, and he would love and care for them both in their old age. And so it was that Naomi, who had once been bitter, now became pleasant once again. Naomi, who had once been empty, now became full of joy. And Naomi, who once had no bread, was filled again with good things. Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer, the women of the town said to Naomi. May you become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age, for your daughters-in-law, who loves you, is better than 7 sons and has given Obed birth. That's the story. Read it for yourself. But as we conclude, let me draw out a number of very brief applications for us. There are 5 in total, very, very brief ones. First of all, this is a story of ordinary people. Who was Elimelech? Who was Naomi? Who was Ruth? Who was Boaz? Ordinary people with their trials and their sorrows, their tragedies and their pains. But God was with them. This last week in the presbytery tour, it's been my privilege to meet ordinary people going about ordinary work in an extraordinary way, in schools, at university, with special needs children, on the farm, with the police. That's the kind of people God draws alongside and works with. People in their good times and their sad. Those who are laughing, those who are shedding tears of sadness, those who are in plenty, those who have little, those who are empty, those who are full. This is a story of ordinary people. Secondly, this is a story about harvest. Naomi and Ruth arrived in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. And what a wonderful promise it is that we celebrate today. That as long as earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. God is faithful. It's right that we acknowledge that today. In a few weeks' time, Claire and I hope to visit Nepal, where 1 year ago a massive earthquake killed 9,000 people. The Presbyterian Church in Ireland contributed $600,000 to help in the reconstruction process, and all being well, we'll see some of how that has been used. The people struggle to find enough to eat. And it's right that we who benefit from the faithfulness of God's promise and enjoy plenty should gladly and generously share with people in other parts of the world so that God's harvest is distributed fairly. This is a story about harvest. And thirdly, this is a story about God's providence at a dark and difficult time. Glance back, if you will, to the very last verse of the final chapter of the book in our Bibles prior to the story of Ruth. It's the book of Judges 21, verse 25. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. Here was postmodernism before postmodernism as a concept was invented. Who cares what anybody else thinks? I'll do what I want. And it's into that context of selfishness and lawlessness and lack of respect for anyone or anything that this story of God's providences is located. Does that give you courage? When all was dark, God introduced Ruth. And it's sometimes at our very darkest moments that we are able to discern the light of God's presence. It was while we were yet sinners that Christ died for the ungodly. It was at a dark and difficult time that God's providence became plain. And fourthly, this is a story about returning. I wonder if you noticed, as Lorna read to us from Ruth chapter 1, just how many references there are to returning, to leaving, or going back. I've marked them in my Bible with highlights. This is a story of Naomi and her barrenness returning to Bethlehem. She had been away, now she has come back home. This is the place of bread. This is the place where she finds being fulfillment and being filled. This is a story who was at the end of her tether coming back home. We may, of course, return to the Lord out of sheer thankfulness to him when everything's going well. But if by any chance, like Naomi, your life has become bitter, don't neglect the invitation God issues to you today, just as you are, to return, just like the prodigal, to come back home. Return to God. Come back. This is a story about returning. And fifthly and lastly, this is a story about a redeemer. Ruth wanted to be Boaz's servant. Instead, what happened? She became his bride. She had no right to be anything but a servant, but instead, at his invitation and her willing response, Ruth became Boaz's beloved. Is that not beautiful? He didn't have to, but out of his heart of love, Boaz came to Ruth's rescue and redeemed her. We have a redeemer. He is Ruth and Boaz's great, great, great grandson. Because Ruth gave birth to Obed, who was the father of Jesse. And Jesse was the father of King David. And David was the ancestor of Joseph and Mary. And Matthew chapter 1 tells us that from this ordinary family, in this providential way, at a dark and difficult time, through this migrant family, the Lord Jesus came. And through him, it is made possible that each one of us here, this Harvest Sunday, may return back home, return to God through a Redeemer who has bought us not with silver or gold, but with his precious blood. Oh, thank God for his goodness to us today. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bless you for this lovely story about Ruth, thank you most of all for the one to whom it points, the lovely Lord Jesus. And as we have ears to hear what you say to us this morning, so enable us, please, to be obedient to your call to come back home. And what we ask is for the sake of Christ, our Redeemer. Amen.
Our older children slip out to Sunday school at this stage, and the choir continues to lead us in worship. Creation sings.